This is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Now on the internet at communityradio.coop.
You're listening to WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. And this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. We're happy to be back again. We've had Claudio going off and doing all sorts of theater stuff, and went off and did all sorts of court stuff, doing my civic duty. But we're back here again for the Speakeasy and Radio Theater, and your host Claudio, the Renaissance Man of WCOM, has opened the doors, and we're ready to fly. First thing we're going to run right into is Radio Theater. And this is Mud in Your Eye coming up, which is going to be choreographed with Anjanae Bell of Bell and Dance, and be performed it at the Carolina Theater in November. So listen up, folks, and we'll hear a little bit of Mud in Your Eye.
Mud in Your Eye. I've been keeping abreast of the storm's raging quest from a bar in the French Quarter of town, while the gales from the west were all doing their best to hail the apocalyptic Katrina aground. Now there's mud in the eye of the sailor tonight, where broken levees have leveled the shore. And with the warnings all out and the natives in flight, the Big Easy ain't easy no more. When the waters rose as high as an elephant's eye, and knives of wind ceased their cutting about, an eerie silence would sigh as the night gave a cry to the voodoo of time running out. All the souls in despair who felt abandoned by care, and whom misfortune did not allow to depart, questioned country and state in this quagmire of fate, and found it best a debatable heart. A generosity grew from much more than a few who accomplished what politicians could not. But before this was true, an unrest would ensue among the ravaged whom time had forgot. A dead body neglect from the governing sect is the talk of all our daily news. With rivers as streets and all disquieting feats, New Orleans is neck deep in her blues. It's a primitive take when your town is a lake, not to mention the neighboring states. There are strange things afloat in a hat and a coat, all abandoned to partisan traits. At Johnny White's on Bourbon Street, we drank warm beer and spooned canned meat, while Lake Pontchartrain cut a brand new loop and turned a cultural gumbo into toxic soup.
I can see that in dance. I can see that in
dance. I can't wait to make that happen. Good morning, everyone. This is Claudio of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre, and that was Audrey Layden, who forgot to introduce herself, but then you know who she is.
Well, you know, when you get to the point when you're as well known as I am, then
yes,
I don't have to announce
myself. Of course, that's it. The Audrey, formerly known as whoever you were. Yes.
Exactly. Tell us a little bit more about that choreography that's going on with Andre.
Well, actually, Anjanae Bell, who is also the daughter of the mayor of Durham, and I have not quite gotten together on the choreography yet. I think that's going to happen in June. But then we're going to design it for the stage as a performance piece. And I think she's talking about designing the entire dance concept around, or at least to be influenced by it, so not just one piece. But I can't say much more than that. I know that we're getting ready to go into rehearsals starting June, possibly sooner. But that's as much as I'm free to say right now, but it will be performed at the Historic Carolina Theater in downtown Durham.
Well, I know that if nothing else, will finally get me over to the Carolina Theater.
Good. Finally be able to drag you over there. Perfect. I want to say good morning, everyone. We have the wonderful privilege of having a jazz, I would say sort of more of a jazz rock fusion. Cooper Tisdale is going to be doing a call-in around 10:15. Hopefully I'll be done yapping by then. And I'm basically going to interview him about his life, and I'm going to let him suggest what music to play off four different albums that he's got. So having said all that, I'd like to acknowledge the Historic Carolina Theater as the primary sponsor of the Speakeasy here. Thanks to the folks. And they've got the Full Frame Film Festival coming up Thursday through Sunday. So if anybody wants to check that out, they usually line up around the block to see those independent films. So it's well worth your time, and I'll be there late night for that closing shift.
Okay. Working hard out there.
Yeah, I had something interesting sent to me by a mutual friend here, Bob Crowley, that I think is something that the public ought to know. And I'm going to read this. This comes right off the computer. For too long, we have been too complacent about the workings of Congress. I personally didn't think we had a Congress. Many citizens have no idea that members of Congress can retire at full pay after only one term, or do not pay into Social Security, or they have specifically exempted themselves from many of the laws that they have passed, such as being exempt from any fear of prosecution for sexual harassment. That's a new one. While we ordinary citizens must live under those laws. The latest move in Congress is to exempt themselves from the health care reform bill in all of its forms. How does that inspire your confidence out there, America? Somehow that does not seem logical. We should not have an elite group above the law. I truly don't care if they are Democrat, Republican, Independent, or crocodile hunters, or whatever. The self-serving must stop. And Bob is basically trying to get some people to call their congressmen and express themselves about this. And I do want to remind everybody about the proposed 28th Amendment to the United States Constitution, is that Congress shall make no law applying to the citizens of the United States, not applying equally to senators and or Congress. Congress shall make no law applying to the citizens of the United States that do not apply to them essentially. And Congress shall make no law applying to senators and or representatives, not applying equally to all citizens of the United States. Just some food for thought. Mm-hmm. I always thought Congress was a joke, and now I know it is.
Well, you know, it's easy to sit and criticize.
And yeah, especially while they're sitting around, right?
Yes.
The fat cats. I think we need another. What was Braveheart's name? William.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
No, I can see. I think healthy criticism is absolutely critical to keeping a free society.
It's up to us to govern those who govern us, right? I think we've forgotten that.
Free expression is essential to a free society. But
absolutely. William Wallace, where are you when we need you?
But there are still, and I will keep a positive outlook.
No, I'm keeping a positive outlook as well.
There are still people out there who are working hard.
I'm keeping a positive outlook as well. I'm positive they're not doing their job. How's that?
Well, it's up to us, as I've said before.
Absolutely.
To whom we elect is our fault.
We must watch the watchers.
Absolutely. So, you know, get out there and vote on your local level, because that's where it starts.
Yes. Govern those who govern you, or we might wind up with another George Bush.
Well, you know, you get into these things where people just don't turn out for local elections.
I know.
And that's where it starts. You have no right to complain if you're not out there doing
that. That's true.
Best.
If you're not shaking that, right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, anyway, that's my little spiel.
Still don't like them. I want to mention a little something about Cooper Tisdale here. We're going to be exploring his life quite extensively in a few moments. Unless, of course, he doesn't call, then we're in trouble. We'll just play his music. After studying at California's Guitar Institute of Technology, Cooper Tisdale returned to Georgia to begin his music career, playing everything from rock to jazz and funk. Cooper has performed at Radio City Music Hall with the Indigo Girls and Carnegie Hall with Kristen Hall, and has opened shows for Chet Atkins, Steve Morse, REO Speedwagon, 311, Grover Washington Jr., The Nixons, and Spyro Gyra. That's pretty impressive. Tisdale has performed with members of the band The Crusaders and Earth, Wind, and Fire. Cooper Tisdale has released four CDs, which we have here in the studio today, and I'm hoping we play cuts from all of them, at his very suggestion. The CDs are Face Up, Up From Down, Live in Atlanta, and A Little Something, which is the most recent little album that he came up with. It's a short. More information about the artist is available from his website, which is coopertisdale.com. So check that out. In a very short while, he should be calling in. I also want to mention that the movie coming out, which will eventually be a TV series, Rusty Bucket Kids, is being featured on ABC TV on the 17th, which I believe is a Saturday at noon, in case anyone's interested. My voice is the one telling the story. They've decided to call me storyteller instead of narrator for the part. Uh-huh. And I'm also the mystical navigator conductor in it. I think they're...
Really, looking forward to that.
Yeah, and they're actually going to have a cool an event at Cool Kids Expo at the Raleigh Civic Center on the 17th and 18th.
Uh-huh.
Coming up where people from the cast are expected to go meet the public, sign right. autographs and all that jazz. I know I'm going to be there on the 18th, not sure about the 17th.
Uh-huh.
But wanted to mention that. And then also got to give a quick plug.
So people can just tune in to ABC, which is what?
WRAL.
WRAL, mm-hmm. Right.
They're picking it up, and I think this is the test run, and then we'll see where it goes from there. And they're hoping to make it a strong television series, and I certainly think it has the potential to go in that direction. Let's see, something else I wanted to mention very quickly.
That's on a Saturday at noon. That's a good time for it.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was Sunday at noon. I wasn't sure the church crowd would be back by then.
Right.
So I think we're safe. And also on the 10th, in case anyone is interested, the Halley Center of Apex is going to be featuring Finding the Right Word. And that is essentially a fun afternoon of kids, art, poetry, and special guest poets. Poets include myself, Thomas Lisk, Don Tuttle, Cameron Neal, Dave Cox, who is a musician, blues singer. And it is sponsored by All Booked Up, Apex Writers Guild, and Apex Arts Council. That's coming up from 4 to 6 on the 10th. Should be fun. So that, I think, pretty much covers announcements I've had to make.
Okay.
Anything else you want to tell us about upcoming?
Well,
what's coming up on your...
Well, I want to tell our listeners out there that we have a really exciting new Facebook page for WCOM.
Yes, I just said about that.
And everybody should just go to our website, WCOMFM.org, and you'll see a little thing there about sign up or hook in or become a fan of WCOM's Facebook page.
Yes, please do. We need you.
All sorts of news and goings on, and our one of our great program hosts, Blake Tedder, who does the full Kirtan Hour on Tuesdays, mm-hmm. coming up this afternoon, is the one that's really livening this whole thing up.
Fantastic.
So thanks to Blake. And
yes, big thank you.
Good stuff going on. So
sounds wonderful.
We've got we have one of our the most eclectic and diverse radio stations, I think, on the planet, actually.
I would definitely say so.
When you come to WCOM, you just explore. If you don't like what you're hearing on this particular hour, tune in the next hour. You'll be hearing something entirely different.
Closest thing you're going to get to pirate radio outside the water. On shore. So I guess that phone could ring any time now. Cooper's listening, tuning us in. If not, we're just going to go ahead and play some tunes, but I'd prefer to hear it from the man himself.
So the other things, you've got something else to read there.
I was just going to read another little paragraph about Cooper.
Uh-huh.
This is actually caught my attention. Cooper Tisdale and Friends Live in Atlanta, which is also a CD. Cooper Tisdale has caught the ears of listeners from Canada to the coast of Georgia. Interesting. Coast of Georgia, with his soulfulness and eclectic mix of music. That definitely describes it.
Mm-hmm.
Although this guitarist's music can be described as jazz rock, his influences encompass many genres, and I think we see the phone ringing, so that might just be the man.
Hello, Cooper. This is WCOM.
Attention business owners. Due to the 2010...
That's very nice. That thanks for calling. That was not Cooper.
It was right on time.
I think it was a Monty Python trick. Be that close. So anyway, his musical influences encompass many genres. After studying at California's Guitar Institute of Technology, as I mentioned before, he returned to Georgia and began his music career, performing everything from rock to jazz and funk. His own diverse abilities are Cooper's greatest assets, and I think we have another ring now. This might be him. This might be the jazz man.
Hello, is this Cooper?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Good. I'm Audrey. Glad to meet you over the phone.
Nice to meet you over the phone, Audrey.
Okay.
And I'm Claudio, and we've met pretty much by the pen.
We have.
I've really enjoyed your stuff, and I would actually welcome you to lead us into some selections you'd like us to play. But first of all, please introduce yourself to our listening public.
All right. Well, my name is Cooper Tisdale. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a guitar player and write and play guitar and do a little bit of singing and try to make people's life a little bit better playing some music.
Well, that's certainly a noble spirit, and from what I can tell, you've traveled in some pretty impressive circles.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to play with a few good people along the way.
I think that usually comes from having those kinds of merits yourself.
Well, thank you.
So I really enjoyed the new, I want to say, short album. What do they call the old records, when the vinyls, when it was a half an album?
The EP, extended play.
There we go. What inspired you to do that? And we'll sort of do this backwards and bring your latest one out first, and then we'll go back to your others.
Okay. Well, all my other CDs, I have three others. They're all a combination of instrumental, mainly, and some vocal tunes. And my music is a little bit eclectic in that I suppose one could say my instrumental leans towards maybe a jazz rock type of vibe.
Mm-hmm,
and then my vocal stuff
so.
Almost has a popish kind of vibe. So I decided that it would be nice to do something that was just instrumental. That was my one thought. The other thought is today, with the advent of CDs, everyone feels the pressure to do really long CDs, 11, mm-hmm. 13 songs. And a lot of times in the process of doing so many songs, there's a few that are throwaways.
Right.
And then I guess the third reason was because of the economy and everything. I figured, well, if I could come up with something a little shorter that's a little bit more better price.
Price-friendly, yes.
Price-friendly, thank you. Would help people to encourage them to get it. So there
Absolutely.
You go.
Absolutely. Sort of a little musical calling card.
Exactly.
To give people, hey, why don't you pick one of those tunes? If you don't mind staying on the phone while we play it.
No problem.
Pick us a tune that you'd like us to play on that, and we have that thing loaded up.
Okay, how about number one, Harry?
Harry, you want to tell us what inspired it? Want to say anything about it before we go?
Well, I would originally, when I came up with it, the bass line was what I came up with first on this song, and it had more of a Latin type of feel to it, so I originally had the song titled Harry Goes Latin. But then once I fleshed it out and everything, it took on a whole different feel, a little more of a funky kind of vibe to it. So I decided to just drop the Goes Latin and just name it Harry.
All right, well, why don't we go ahead and play it, and we'll talk some more about it afterwards.
Sounds great.
Here this is Cooper Tisdale. Thank you. And that was Harry by Cooper Tisdale off his album, Little Something. A Little Something Else? Well, let me get it right.
A Little Something.
There we go, A Little Something.
That was
great. Well, something else, man. I've got to go find a party now.
Well, that's been my introduction, Cooper, to your music, and it's terrific.
Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
But you want to mention the other musicians you have on there with you?
Absolutely. On drums, I have Joe Lee, and on bass, Mr. Joe Rita. And then on keyboards, and I did it with his help engineering, Randy Hexter.
Aha. Well, that's a great piece.
Thank you. Thank you. A lot of fun. I try to make stuff that kind of make people want to move their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly
it. It does that.
You're bouncing around in the chair here.
And I like the eclectic musical style. I mean, you sort of go off in various directions. I don't think anybody listening to you the first time will be able to predict which way you're going to go.
Well, there's just so much good stuff out there. I mean, just so many styles of music that are so good, and you just if one has their ears open, they can't help but be influenced by it to some degree.
That's very true. Who are some of your favorite people that you've performed with? God knows you've got names that it would take 5 minutes to list.
Well, everybody's got their own thing that they bring. I enjoyed working with Kristen Hall. She's a really, really good songwriter, and she went on to form the band Sugarland, which you may or may not.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
We've had some really nice, done some really nice stuff together, and I enjoyed playing with a Brazilian band for a while called Rua Seis, which was a Brazilian group, three mm-hmm. Brazilians, one Panamanian, and me being the lone American.
No wonder you got those influences, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's a lot of fun, and then used to work with a band called the Tone Poets quite a while ago that was an original kind of rock band. And
I've heard of them, but I can't say that I wouldn't know what to say about them, but ring a bell.
It was an interesting band. It was a trio, and the keyboard player, Paul Provost, played keys and played key bass also, and he used to have a boat windshield on the front of his keyboards. His keyboards were on wheels, and he would roll around the stage with it. And his music was rock, but it had a twist to it. And then the drummer was R.J. Vealey, who actually went on to rest his soul. Now he passed away, but he went on to play with the Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Incredible.
And so that was fun. And then, goodness gracious, there's just a lot of people that I've enjoyed playing with.
No doubt. I mean, just some of the names I've read were amazingly impressive, and the fact that you've the venues you've performed in. I mean, feel free to ramble on a little bit about that.
Oh well, I just via my connection with Kristen Hall, we were able to do some really nice gigs. We did a little tour with the Indigo Girls back in the '90s, and Little East Coast tour. And we ended up playing some really nice venues. I'm sorry, I can't remember all the names.
Radio Music Hall, I think, was one of them, right?
Excuse me?
Radio Music Hall, was that one of them?
Correct. City Music Hall up in New York City. We played there two nights, two sold-out nights. And it was always fun playing with them, too, because this was a tour where sometimes Indigo Girls would have whole bands, and then sometimes it'd just be the two of them, and this is where it was just the two.
Oh, wow.
And then Kristen Hall and myself opened for them, and so she
Fantastic.
Would play acoustic and sing, and I would play acoustic and
Incredible.
And, with her. And then at the end of the night, we would generally get up with them on stage and play an encore. And that was kind of fun because Emily of the Indigo Girls would go to electric guitar, and then they would hand me one of her acoustic guitars, and I would play acoustic guitar. And sometimes one of the songs we'd do was a song, Neil Young song, called Southern Man, which was pretty funny coming from the Indigo Girls.
Right.
The whole what it represented. So it was kind of interesting, and we always had a good time with that. So
did you first pick up a guitar?
I picked up a guitar, and I lived on a farm as a teenager, and I started playing then. And
where was this? Where was the farm?
This was actually a place, well, we don't even have the mail address is Brooks, Georgia. Suffice to say, it's about 50 miles south of Atlanta. A little cattle farm. And other than doing my chores and going to school, and I had a little motorcycle, a dirt bike I'd ride, I eventually...
Great thing on a farm.
Guitar. So that was kind of my, one other thing to do, and I really started enjoying playing, obviously. So.
And you never lost your fascination, because as children we often pick something up and sort of play with it for a while and then decide, okay, it's not fun anymore, and go on to something else.
Right. Well, I was a teenager at the time, so I had started to, I guess, kind of get it together a little bit. But I do remember when my father, I'll never forget, I was sitting one night, I said, you know, I know what I want to do when I grow up.
He said,
what's that? And I said, be a musician. He says, well, you can't have it both ways. No, he didn't really say that. but he said, yeah, well, yesterday you wanted to be a professional quarterback, a quarterback in the NFL. And I said, all right, you wait and see.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So there have been times, like anything, where you wonder what you're doing. But I remember always saying that to him and saying, okay, well, I said it. And I certainly don't regret what I'm doing. But, of course, like everyone, once in a while you question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and that was like at 17. So.
And it seems like parents always question going in artistic directions.
Well, they do, you know, but I have to say they were really cool about it. I mean, I remember him saying, well, okay, if you're going to do it, be the best you can be. However, why don't you go ahead and
learn something else to support yourself?
Correct.
While you're doing
yes, right.
Exactly. Go to college, get a degree so you have something to fall back on. Of course, I didn't know anything what I was saying at the time, but I remember my response as well. I don't think I'll be able to succeed at this if I water it down.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So, of course, I didn't really know what I was saying at the time, but I do think that tended to actually to be true.
Indeed. It's amazing, I think, what comes out of the, so to speak, the mouths of babes and how true it ends up ringing later in life.
True that. I know my mother one time showed me a little picture I had drawn, and I didn't even remember I'd done it, but when I was 10 years old, it was a little picture of a little kid with a guitar, and on the top, it said, to thine own heart be true.
Wow.
Now, I don't know where that came from, but...
You probably stumbled over some Shakespeare there for a minute.
Yeah, you know how that... As a youth, you read a lot of Shakespeare.
Right. Yeah, right.
But at any rate, she always kept that, so that was... When she showed that to me, it was pretty neat.
Incredible.
Did you have someone that was your
mentor?
Inspiration, your mentor, or someone that it's like, I want to play like this person, or something like that.
You mean someone that I knew or someone that I listened to?
Well, either way.
Well,
both ways, for that
matter.
Okay, both
ways.
Both ways.
Well, my first guitar hero was Brian May for Queen.
Ah.
And I still love him. I just love, I loved his tone, his touch, his vibrato, just everything about him. One wouldn't necessarily hear my playing and say, oh, Brian May, but he was certainly my first hero.
Inspiration. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And then there was, growing up in the country, there were a few people that played guitar. They knew three chords and two of them were wrong. So it was definitely a process of just trying to grab hold and learn. However, there was one person that, his name was John Neal, that was a really big inspiration for me. And the way I knew, he was older and he was a friend of my brother's, you know, 7 or 8 years older. And I remember... One time he had come over to the house with my brother, and we were watching TV, my father and myself, and Mike said, that's my brother, said, hey, John plays guitar, do you mind if he goes in your room and plays? And I said, oh, no. So after a while, I'm hearing this, like, great guitar.
Mm.
And I walked in there, and he's sitting on the edge of bed with a little sweat running off his nose. and he was very inspirational. So I did get to where he didn't live too awful far away, and I would go every couple of months or something, I'd go over to his house, and used to have one of those cassette players, remember, that kind of looked about the shape of a shoebox.
Right.
Mm-hmm, I do.
And I would take that and I would just record him.
Uh-huh.
Just for inspiration. So I would certainly say that he was inspirational that way. And then a little later, there was a fellow, Danny Smith, that once again about John's age, that I had met one night. He could tell that I was serious about guitar, and he suggested, well, you should drive up to Atlanta. I take lessons from this guy. Classical guitar lessons. That'd be good for you.
Uh-huh.
That's a great way to nimble yourself up, yeah.
Exactly. So I would drive to his place, and he lived in a town, Griffin, Georgia, about 20 miles away, and we'd get in his little VW Bug and drive up to Atlanta every Saturday. And I did this for, about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you go.
That's how you got started with it.
Did your family... live to appreciate your coming out as a musician, as a guitarist?
Yes, they did.
Wonderful.
They did. They were very supportive, and I think all along everybody was probably a little bit like, well, let's see what happens. But I think pretty soon, because that's what I've done to make my living, as an adult. So they could, once they saw that I was really following through with it, that I was doing it, and they were never discouraging.
That's
by any means.
That's wonderful, because something like that can really stifle.
It can, for sure. And I was very fortunate. My family was a musical. I mean, they could play the turntable, kind of.
Right. That old instrument. Well, listen, why don't you pick another tune off another album, and we'll keep on doing this and chatting after. How about that?
Okay. How about off of Live in Atlanta?
Live in Atlanta.
How about Doodad, track number 4?
Track number 4.
Okay, we're working on that.
Putting it on. And we'll chat about your inspirations for it and pick it up from there.
Okay, sounds great.
Here's Cooper Tisdale again. And Cooper, give us a name.
Doodad.
Doodad, okay.
Yeah, it's just a little doodad.
Gotcha.
Okay, here we go with a Doodad. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that applause you just heard was actually us in the studio. Ha ha.
And that was reminding our listeners that they're listening to WCOM 103.5 FM, and it's Claudio Speakeasy, and we're talking with Cooper Tisdale, calling all the way from Georgia.
And that was a little doodad.
Great music.
From Cooper.
Thank you.
So give us a little background on that, if you'd like.
Well, I just called it doodad because that's what it was, just that little the intro line, da da ba 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 da. Just to me, it wasn't like a real deep song. It was just kind of a fun little groove. And so I said, oh, it's a doodad.
It was a great doodad, a great introduction.
Absolutely.
And people can go and find your albums going into any CD store, right? Any store that sells CDs.
Well, I wish I could say that, but that's not the case right now. However, the good news is they can go to my website and you can order through that.
Go ahead and give us that.
Download from a couple of the live CD and my newest CD through CD Baby or iTunes or Rhapsody, places like that. But my website is my name, Cooper, T as in Tom, TISDALE.com. That's CooperTisdale.com.
Okay. Good to know.
So there you have it,
I'm
folks.
I'm sure you're going to have some people out there saying, hey, I want to hear more of that.
Well, I hope so. That'd be wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Also want to mention that you'll be able to download this podcast in a day or two. It won't be podcast today, but usually I think we get Ernie to come in and podcast it tomorrow, and then it'll be downloadable for free. And you can actually go to my website for that, which is claudioarts.com, and just click on the radio show link, and it'll tell you how to do it. So it'll be the latest podcast on that collection.
So nobody should ever be without the great Claudio Speakeasy.
Boy, where'd that come from?
And all their great guests.
Yes. Oh, the guests are the greatest part about it, exactly.
Uh-huh.
So back to you, Coop. Give us some more of your inspirations or whatever you'd like to talk about.
Tell us what you're going to do next.
Well, inspirations, let me speak about that for a minute.
Okay.
I mentioned Brian May, but I would be remiss not to mention someone you may or may not have heard of. His name is Alan Holdsworth.
I have heard that name. Where have I heard that name?
Well, he's one of those people. He's a guitar player. He's an Englishman, like Brian May.
Probably read his name on some album cover or something.
Well, you may have. He's deep. He's played with Tony Williams, who was a youngster, played with Miles Davis, a 17-year-old child prodigy drummer. And he's played with Jean-Luc Ponty, who I'm sure you've heard of.
Yeah, so I used to listen to him extensively. That might actually be where I saw his name.
Yes, he played on he guested on a couple of his records.
God, you don't hear anything about him anymore, Jean-Luc Ponty.
Yeah, I guess he's been around a long time, so maybe he's decided to retire. Who knows?
I hope he can afford it.
Alan Holdsworth was, when I was finally turned on to him, he had to pick me up off the floor. He was one of those people that he had such his own voice as a musician, and the thing is, he's like I said, he's really deep. He's very uncompromising, and his music may be hard for some people to digest, but he's got such a voice, and he's to me, I just hear his soul in his playing, and so I have to say, not only was he a big inspiration that way, also it was through him that I heard him was with Tony Williams Lifetime, who I mentioned as being the drummer for Miles Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And through him, kind of that thread led me to Tony Williams, led me to Miles Davis, led me to jazz, to true straight up jazz, which that term now can mean so many things to so many people. But I think a good way to describe jazz really is, a lot of times it was the feel, but it's the improvisational part, the fact that you have people playing off one another and the song may be different every night.
Gotcha.
And so I would certainly have to mention him. Now, as far as the future, I hope to just keep on playing and playing with good musicians, and who knows, maybe my next release will be an all vocal venture. I'm not really sure. I haven't thought that far ahead yet. I'm just trying to promote this right now but just keep on playing music and hopefully getting better. So
absolutely. I have a little bit of a disturbing news to report, and that is, I was just informed that we were having some technical difficulties, and today's show will not be able to be recorded, which really breaks my heart.
Total bummer, and it's my fault. I'm going to have to stand up there and be brave and say it's my fault. I set the whole thing up, ready to
record. I still think this. I'm sure there's somebody out there recording this anyway, so if you want to come to the fore, please do. But otherwise, Cooper, I would suggest, can we do this as a continuation next week as well?
Sure.
And we'll be sure to have things up and running. Sometimes there are little glitches in the system that cut out in the middle of the program, and it throws things off. So my sincerest apologies for that.
Well, I just appreciate you having me on, Claudio.
Oh, I'm very pleased to have you on, and it really breaks my heart that we're not able to record the whole thing. So please, let's pick this up again. I mean, let's go through the show today, and to the public, I apologize out there. Just a little glitch on WCOM, but we will pick this up again next week. So we'll have you on 2 weeks in a row. We can go quite extensively. And what we'll do is we'll cover some of this turf and then just continue on.
Okay, that sounds wonderful.
So you got 2 weeks of exposure for that little slip.
Well, it worked to my advantage then, didn't it?
Wonderful. I'm glad you can do them both. You want to give us another tune to play on another album?
Let's see. Why don't I shake it up a little bit and
all right.
Let's do something from Up From Down. And let's see. There's a couple different ones you can choose since we're doing it again next week. Let's do the song You.
You, okay.
And now the song You is a, this kind of relates to that idea of this is very different than the other songs, and since I've been talking about that, this will be an example of it. This song is sung by Michelle Malone.
Ah, yeah, beautiful.
Who had a group way back, still my favorite band name for rock group, Michelle Malone and Drag the River. What a great name.
It is.
But at any rate, at the time, I knew her. I didn't know her real well, but I did know her. But her bass player was a good friend of mine, and that's how I had met her.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written this song, this little piece, and the way the song came about was actually a student at the time was wanting to learn a Led Zeppelin song called Brawny R, which was this interesting tuning in C. And so one day when I was messing with it, I started messing with this little groove came together. So that's where the song came from. And You, it's very few words, but the title is You, so maybe that'll tie in when one hears the lyrics. But when I asked, I thought this would be a perfect song for Michelle to sing, even though at the time she was doing more of a rock thing.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear her singing it, so I remember calling her and saying, hey, Michelle, would you like to come record the song? And she said, well, let me hear it, drop it off in my mailbox, and I'll listen to it, and I'll let you know. And I had a message on the machine a couple days later, and she says, I can't get the bleeping song out of my head. I'll do it.
So, great.
And the magic was there.
So at any rate, so this is You, and it's off of Up From Down, and I guess it's track number four.
Yes, right. We've got you.
Here
so one more from Cooper Tisdale. And there's that applause again coming from us, at least at heart. I know it's also on the album. Just want to mention that this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, and big apology to the world out there for the fact that we had a little studio glitch here and lost copy of this. But I think this could actually prepare us even more for next week, and we'll do a whole run-through. We won't actually have time, in the interest of a little more conversation with you, to do another cut off your other album, so we'll just use that as a launch pad for doing it again next week.
Good deal.
But anyway, so what are you doing these days? What's happening in Atlanta? What are some of your favorite circuits or favorite place to play?
Well, I'm playing now. I've got a little trio that's playing, and we play around town. The Social Vinings is a kind of a every other week thing, and then we play in different places. And that's been pretty fun. The drummer that you heard on the live CD, his name is Jason LaMarca. Mm-hmm. Jason LaMarca is playing drums. And then on bass, I have Todd Smalley. And Todd Smalley is he's been the bass player with Derek Trucks Band for the last many years.
They were at the Carolina Theater not too long ago.
Exactly. And so if you saw a smiling bass player, that's Todd Smalley. Mm-hmm. Just a great player.
Yes, I do remember that.
After I released my first CD, he actually toured with me. We first played together then, and the Derek Trucks Band, we keep contact over the years. We've always been good friends and great player. And Derek Trucks Band was taking a hiatus this year, and so I had some gigs, and I thought, well, shoot, I'll ask Todd to see if he wants to do some gigs with me. And it's been a lot of fun. Plus the fact that he and Jason actually grew up together, so they were in bands like in junior high and high school, so it was fun to have them come back together. And so that's been a lot of fun, and I'm actually even doing some little solo gigs here and there. I've got a weekly little thing at this place called Killer Creek here in Atlanta, where I'm actually playing acoustic and singing a good bit. And that's fun because, once again, there's just so much good stuff out there, and I just trying to play music and close my eyes. And
you're plenty good already, brother.
Well, I appreciate it.
Do you ever get up in this area?
I haven't been. I've been up there before, but I have not played. I have not done any original gigs up there, but I'd love to at some point.
I was going to say, send me, if you have a press kit or whatever, send me something that I might be able to hand to the Carolina Theater, see if I can generate some interest there. I'm part of that little pretty big event-type place, but they might well be interested in the sort of thing you do.
Well, thank you very much.
We'd love to have you live on here with your guitar. That would be terrific.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I'd love to do it. And also, I would like to give a shout-out to my wife, Nydia.
Absolutely. Well, I was going to say hello to Nydia.
Yeah, I'm sure she says hello back, Claudio.
A very dear friend. I'm hoping, actually, at some point in the future, if all things permit, to come and catch you in a performance.
That would be wonderful.
Maybe come for a visit.
That would be great. Well, you'd be more than welcome. And
thank
I've
you.
Enjoyed what I've heard of your music and you know.
You have to forgive me for beginning the show, but we usually have a section on the show that that lends itself to radio theater. And I figured since I wanted to have you on for the rest of the hour, we just go ahead and launch Mud in Your Eye, and that which is something I'd mentioned to you before anyway, and let that be today's radio theater.
I enjoyed that. I actually listened to that, and I very much enjoyed it.
And that, by the way, was the music of Jim Beckwith, which I forgot to mention.
Oh, okay.
He's a jazz artist. You can look him up under that. And I think he's just gone to Nashville to cultivate his fame.
And you can appreciate how well that will be adapted to dance, that Mud in Your Eye. That's that whole choreography of that will be great to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you know when that comes about, in case you guys can make it to town.
That would be great.
That'll be like in November, I think you said.
Okay.
It's scheduled for.
But anyway, Cooper, it was great fun having you on. Please forgive me for this for the glitch that happened, and I will make it up to you next week. We'll be sure to have a great recording of it.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you all very much for having me. I very much appreciate it, and y'all enjoy this great weather. I trust it's as nice up there as
it is
down here.
It's beautiful here.
Glorious. Getting a little bit too warm, a little bit too fast, but
yeah,
still great.
Yeah, it really did happen fast.
Yeah.
Please give my love to Nydia, and I look forward to chatting you up again next week.
Okay, Claudio, Audrey, thank you all so much.
Okay, good to meet you.
Cheers.
Nice to meet you. Cheers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Again, this is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carborough.
Back to the station. The station was started to be a community radio station here for the people of Carborough and Chapel Hill, to be an alternative sound radio station that people could tune into sort of like radio the way it used to be, you know, live and local.
Right.
And radio,
you said the other day, is fun, fresh, live and local.
Exactly.
And not corporate. We don't have to kiss any tail.
Well, it's you're not getting canned stuff from some distant universe. It's
God, they
us.
Sound horribly boring for the most part.
I believe the founders of a station, Jacques Menache, Ruffin Slater, Peg Nolan, few others, I believe the station is now what they envisioned it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, as you said, 60 different voices on the air continuously.
Right.
We're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and all volunteers. And this is what it's all about.
We have shows in Spanish. We have one of only two Chinese-English shows.
That's
Chinese
right.
American
yes.
shows that's on the air on Friday mornings. The other one is a religious station that's in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But the one we have here, the China Hour, is unique. It might be
it
even on the whole East
show.
Coast. And it's a great fun show to listen to.
That show, like some others here, could be on any station, anywhere,
mm-hmm.
anytime.
I agree.
It's a great show.
And I honestly think that what I see as truly the gift of WCOM that you won't find on other radio stations is the spontaneity of the material that you get, of what you're hearing. It's coming from the hearts and minds of the people giving it to you. It's not canned. It's not in a box. It's not corporately edited, and you know, you're not told how you can sing your song. We just get out there and do it.
Community
and it's
radio.
Something else that I get a little bit heavy and a little bit preachy, but saying the essence of a free society
absolutely.
Is freedom of speech.
And this is where you've got
and
it.
That's what drew me in here to make a donation to start with.
Same here.
Remember
here.
The first
exactly.
week you came here, Audrey, and Chris was our station manager.
Absolutely.
Another fellow who was
Talk
one of the
founders
of the
show.
Station, Chris Frank. Who is also in the Red Clay Ramblers.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen of Carrboro, Chapel Hill, and the World Wide Web. You are listening to WCOM LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro.